Blog Talk Radio. No worries, Aki. No worries. No, I'm not going to be that mean and say I'm not going to forgive you. I'll just going to torture you with it a little while. All right. Yeah. But I'm actually starting a lesson right now. So, all right. Peace and blessings. You can call in. I said you can call in. You ain't. Yeah, I'm getting ready to teach. Like, I'm actually broadcasting right now. I'm on the phone with you. That don't work. Love you too, my brother. Peace and blessings. All right. Amen. We want to greet you all. Like I said, I was sleeping so good, and I overslept. And the only thing that got me up, I used to set an alarm on my phone for 15 minutes before broadcast time, and that alarm went off, and I was like, oh, let me jump up. And I had been kind of, you know, going over in my mind while I was asleep, you know, how you kind of halfway sleep and halfway awake, what was going to be the subject for this morning. And one of the things, you know, we were covering last night was, you know, as part of our dedication and our prayer, the prayer that we make on the Shabbat, that I, you know, personally make for us, is to that we remember the iniquities of our forefathers, and that we confess their iniquity as part of our prayer. And so the Most High said, do the sins of our fathers who repeat this stuff. So that, why? So that we don't make the same mistake. Okay, so we are to confess our iniquities and the iniquities of our forefathers. So I decided I would take this morning to do that. We're going to be coming from the book of Ezekiel, a couple of chapters, and the book of, we're going to do it from the book of, is it Acts? I think it's Acts chapter 7, a couple of chapters, or one chapter. You know, just so that we understand, and I know that we do, but still the Most High said this is what he wants us to do, so I want to be obedient, that obedient servant can do it and take care of this. Now, I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, on the Internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America, in South America, on the African continent, in the Middle East, in the Far East, in the European theater, in the communist bloc country. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And on this morning, I'm going to ask everybody to just bear with me. This is totally, like, unprepared. It is coming, you know, off the cuff. And so, I know what the Most High wants me to do, but he's going to have to guide me in this. And I, you know, ask for your prayers on this morning as we go through this. Let's see. Let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. And first of all, happy Sabbath to everybody.
Thank you.
We have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, God Elohim. We will glorify you on this morning, and we magnify your name, and we lift you up, Father, for you are truly worthy of all glory, all honor, and all praise. You and you alone are Elohim, Father, and there is none like you. No, none. No one is good but you, Father. Hallelujah. And we bow down this morning and give our adoration to you, O Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. From glory to glory, you are Elohim. And you are Elohim all by yourself. And we magnify you and glorify you and lift you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to observe your Sabbath, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you forgive us our sins, that we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. Father, we ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. But if we would but turn from our wicked ways and confess our sins and repent from our wicked ways, while I'm just all mixed up this morning, and repent from our wicked ways, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And Father, we are repenting from our wicked ways and turning from our sins. And Father, we ask that you would turn your eyes and your ears once again toward your people Israel, for this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might awaken them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice and come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this morning, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. And you show how much they express the same, I pray. Amen and amen. Our scriptures for this morning. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 46. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. We will personalize this on this morning.
On this morning.
It is now in the conference.
Okay, we'll personalize this on this morning. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart, and with all our soul, in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive. And pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carry us captive, that they may have compassion for on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast brought us forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim. But to fear Yah thy Elohim. To walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah, Elohim of thy fathers, giveth thee to possess it all the days you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. The book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. Exodus 20 verse 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah, thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John, chapter 14, and verse 15. The book of John, chapter 14, and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar. The blowing of the shofar.
Everything I do is for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is a story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth to deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Check all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that.
Feel me, oh God. till the dry bones respond, I gotta run over. So cancer responds, I gotta run over. So my family responds, I gotta run over. I wanna run over. I wanna run over. Fill me up till I overflow. Come on. I wanna run. Fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run, oh, I wanna run over.
All right, amen, 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 amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. As I was saying, yeah, I overslept. I was sleeping so good. I haven't awakened and felt this good in a long time. I'm talking about no pain whatsoever. Feels kind of weird. But I'm thanking the Most High, feeling good on this morning. And so we're going to get into this, the confession of the sins of our fathers, the iniquities, the abominations of our fathers. And as I said, I want you to bear with me on this morning because this is not prepared in any kind of way. Most High, as I said last night, had told me to start going into the things that, you know, that we are confessing in our prayers and in our statement of faith. And that I should go over these things with us so that we have complete understanding and what our Father requires of us. And so on this morning, we're going to be looking, he said that we are the only people that have to confess the iniquities of our forefathers that they had with the Most High. And why do the nations not have to do that? Because they didn't have a relationship with him. The other nations did not have a relationship with the Most High. So they don't have anything to confess. But we had a relationship. Our forefathers had a relationship. And so he says to us, let us go to find out this book. We're going to be coming out of Ezekiel, but we're not going to Ezekiel right now. Let us go to Leviticus chapter 26. The book of Leviticus chapter 26. And let us get verse 40. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 40. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, which with their trespass, which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me. So we have to confess our own iniquities, plus the iniquities of our fathers. And we want to acknowledge that on this day, on this morning. We're going to go into the scriptures. The Most High has, if had I gotten this message earlier to do this particular one, then I could probably find about 7 or 8 places that the Most High gives a rundown of the sins of our forefathers. But off the top of my head and what sticks out, just what I believe he wants me to cover on this morning. Well, let us go to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. And what we should take out of this, we need to look for the tone of the Most High. We need to look for what his attitude is toward this thing. And we also need to understand that when we are in a state, when we are in a state of iniquity, when we are in sin, the Most High says we don't have a right to come before him. Okay, we don't have a right to inquire of him. So let us go to Ezekiel chapter 20, and let's start in verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 20, and let's start in verse 1. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the 15th month, and the 10th day of the month, that certain of the elders came to inquire of Yah and sat before me. Now, in these days, they would always seek out the prophet. And see, this is something I don't think that the camp or the churches understand or teach very well, is that the prophet's job was to speak for the Most High. That was not the priesthood's job. The high priest would go in on one day of the year and go into the Holy of Holies and make sacrifice. And if he survived, then there was atonement for the whole nation for that year. Okay. But the Most High typically did not talk to the priesthood, not like he talked to the prophet. So the elders, the scribes, all the holy, supposedly holy and devout men of the ministry in Israel would come to the prophet. So we have here the elders coming to Ezekiel, and they want to make an inquiry of Yah. What does Yah say about these things or about a certain matter? Okay? And even today, that's why he said, rather that you what? Prophesy, that you ask for the gift of prophecy, because then the Most High is going to use you directly. It shouldn't be what you say, him using you to speak, so that people can come and inquire of what thus saith Yah Elohim through you. And they should not come empty-handed. Should not come empty-handed. Because, you know, people want advice all the time. They want prayer all the time. But they think that that should be free. But in the scriptures, they always came with a gift. Okay. Then came the word of Yah unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith Yah Elohim, are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith Yah Elohim, I will not be inquired of by you. Now, these elders are thinking that they are what? In right standing with the Most High. They're thinking that they got a right to come and make an inquiry and get a word from the Most High. And Ezekiel is telling them, he's speaking for the Most High. They're hearing the voice of Ezekiel, but Ezekiel is speaking in the first person. And a prophet will always speak in the first person, as though he is Yah himself. Or she is Yah herself. Because if it's a prophetess, she will speak in the same way. In other words, the prophets speak on behalf of the Most High, and they speak in the first person. Okay? And that's how you will know the difference. And a lot of people don't feel comfortable doing that. But if you have that gift, then trust me, you're going to speak as though you are the Most High. But understand that it's not you speaking. Your voice, your body, but it's not you actually speaking. It is the Most High. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And say unto them, thus saith Yah Elohim, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am Yah, your Elohim, in the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all land. Then said I unto them, cast you away every man the abomination of his eyes. Defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am Yah your Elohim. So what can we learn from this? Number one, as I have taught before, when our forefathers came out of Egypt, they were Egyptians. Okay. All of the house of Israel that came out of Egypt, none of them were born outside of Egypt. Jacob, Joseph, all of the 70, they died in Egypt. And all of the new generation was born in Egypt. And they knew the Egyptian god, the Egyptian idol. And the Most High told them, defile yourselves not with the idols of Egypt. When Moses went up on the mountain and he was hit for 40 days and the people thought that he had died, and they had been hearing the voice of the Most High. This is what, you know, he says on Judge, but it's hard for me to wrap my mind around this. How are you going to hear the voice of the Most High and within 30 days you defile yourself and make an idol of gold, a golden calf? That golden calf was an idol of Egypt. And if you look on the Egyptian, you know, on their monuments and their statues or their, you know, the pyramids and things like that, you will find the head of that calf that they worshiped. And so coming out of, bringing them out of Egypt, he told them not to worship the idols of Egypt. When we bring that forward, then we're not supposed to worship any of the idols of any of the religions in our current day. We're not to bow down to them. I am Yah your Elohim. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken or listen to me. They did not every man cast away the abomination of their eyes. Because the people want to see something that they can look at and equate to be the Most High, that represents the Most High. So the Catholics have their cross. You might see people that have little figurines of Jesus, or you might have angels. Whatever it is, if it's a figure that you look at or that you hold, it is an abomination of your eyes, because you were commanded not to do those things. And our forefathers were commanded not to do those things and not to have them. Neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then said I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. Now, came against us even while we were in Egypt. This is what he just said. While we were in the midst of the land of Egypt, they were doing this. So he was letting them know by some prophet that is not written, or one of the priests. The priest didn't even exist, so it had to be a family member that he had chosen, a prophet in Egypt. And maybe it was Joseph, maybe it was one of Joseph's sons, I don't know. But he just said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. So he was letting them know by some mechanism, some prophet, what they were doing wrong, even in Egypt. But I worked for my namesake. I did it for my namesake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were. So this, again, tells me that they were still in Egypt. They had gone in, they had, and they were being born in Egypt. They had adopted Egyptian ways. And he was telling them what to do and what not to do. So they didn't just grow up wild in Egypt and didn't have any type of influence of him in Egypt. In whose sight I made myself known unto them, and in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Let me read that verse again. But I wrought or did it for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen. Even in Egypt, he did not want his name polluted before the Egyptians. That's who they were among whom they were. I have chosen you as a people, and I have sent you into this land to save your lives from the famine that I have caused throughout the entire world. And I sent Joseph ahead of you to prepare the way, to make it so that you were able to survive this worldwide famine. And I was going to raise you up as a nation amongst my people, because Egypt was his people, and the Most High had a house up. And he talked through Israel, and it had to be through that house, now that I'm thinking of it. Because, see, that house is not really mentioned, and if it's not revealed to you, you will miss the verse where he tells you that he had a house in Egypt. Because it's not written kind of that way. When David asked the Most High, could he build him a house? And the Most High told him, you know, that you desire to build me a house, you do well. But you shall not build me a house because there's blood on your hand. Because I have not lived in a house since I left Egypt. He hadn't lived in a house since he left Egypt. Before he left Egypt, he had a house. And so he's telling them, this is the way that he had talked to them. And now that I'm, you know, we're reading this, it is, yes, thank you, Mosai. Thank you, Yah. Back to the verse. Let me get off out of me. Go back to the Mosai. But I wrought, verse 9 again. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them, in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes, and showed them my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And this is something that he just said, my statutes and my judgment, you do, you shall live in them. That means you shall live by them. And this is what's the hardest part for our people, for our forefathers. They did not want to live in them. They did not want to judge their lives according to his judgment and his statutes. Moreover, also, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yah that sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbath they greatly polluted. Then said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. So he was going to consume Israel in Egypt. He brings them out of Egypt in the wilderness, and they polluted and corrupted his, they didn't keep it, pour out his fury upon them in the wilderness. Now, I have to admit to you guys on this morning, because the Most High, you know, you read the scriptures, and the Most High can always show you something that you missed. And I really did miss that he was going to come against them even in Egypt. Even in Egypt. But we just read that. Now he says, I brought them out of Egypt into the wilderness. And I told them, I gave them again my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, my Sabbath as a sign between us. And they polluted it all. They corrupted it all. And so we can't make the same mistake made. Because he will have the same testimony against us. And we find all kind of ways to stay out of trying to keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments. We make all kind of excuses. But our forefathers, we have the witness against them. Let's read verse 13 again. And what is the Most High's mindset? I'm trying to set up a relationship with you. I'm giving you what I require for this relationship, for you to be my people and for me to be your God. And I did it for my name's sake. Go back and get that again. Go back to verse 9. We don't have to get the whole verse. But I wrought or worked it for my name's sake. I did it for my name's sake. I gave them my statutes and my laws. Now, as I said again, this is a revelation for me that he did this for them in Egypt. They, you know, they knew who they were. But they were Egyptian too, and they were following Egyptian ways, and they were, you know, practicing idol worship in Egypt. And they corrupted themselves in Egypt. And that's not new to me, but I had never, you know, saw it in these verses again. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgment. Which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbath they greatly polluted. Then said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them, to get rid of them. Everybody that was rebellious. And at one time in the wilderness, he wanted to do the entire nation. At one time, I'm just going to kill them all but Moses. And I'll start over. Now, you got to be awfully mad and angry to say, you know what, I'm just going to kill you all. I got my prophet. I'll start over. But I wrought or did it for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out of. And what is he saying there? Moses talked to the Most High and said, hey, hold up, wait a minute. If you kill all these people at one time, then the next day you were not able to bring them out and save them. So the Most High said he did it so that his name would not be polluted, so the heathen couldn't say that. That his name would not be polluted before them. Now, why is that important? And why is your walk important? Because when you associate yourselves, or when we associate ourselves with the Most High, we represent him. And when he can bless you or curse you, when he can bless you, then that is what the nation sees. And if he has to curse you, that is what the nation sees. And if you're out there, you know, running amok, doing all kind of whatever, and then you say you belong to him, then you pollute his name, especially if what you're doing is unholy and ungodly. And you're doing it in the sight of the nations, of the heathen. the Most High said he didn't kill everybody, so his name wouldn't be polluted. So the nations wouldn't say, oh, he wasn't able to keep that people, because he's going to come after the heathens later. He's going to come after the other nations later. And for GP or GWIZ, a heathen is anybody outside of that serves any other god but our God. That isn't really tied to a nation. Not today. Is anybody that is serving something or someone else other than our Elohim, then they would be a heathen to us. So Israel is in the middle of Egypt. They are coming up as a separate people inside of Egypt. And the Most High revealed himself to them in Egypt and gave them his statutes and his judgment. And they wouldn't keep them. He said, don't do these things, and they did them anyway. And he still delivered them out of Egypt. And then he brought them into the wilderness. He said, now, when there is no strange God among you, before that, in Egypt, he did all these miracles, and then he brought them into the wilderness, because when they were in Egypt and they were worshiping other gods, some of the miracles that he did, because they were worshiping other gods, he actually used them to show that those other gods were not gods, but the people were worshiping these things. And he used those very same gods to destroy Egypt. But he said, I'm doing it. You give whatever credit for this in your daily life, but I'm telling you, I'm going to control this. Now, when he brings them into the wilderness, it's now that there are no strange gods in the middle of you. You know there's only me and you here. Watch these miracles so that you know that I'm God. So that you know that there's only me. So that you don't give credit to anything else. Get that nonsense out of your mind, out of your heart. There's only me. And he did it for his name's sake so that they would believe on him. Verse 14, but I wrought or did it for my namesake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is a glory to all lands. Why? Because they despised my judgment and walked not in my statutes. We cannot despise his judgment. And we cannot despise his statutes and not walk in them. And we might, you know, some of us might think that they're old-fashioned. They're not for us today. They are for us today. Yah changes not. So again, I cannot understand where the church gets this stuff from. Hold on a minute. Fair. So, I want to find this verse. Let's go to the book of Malachi, chapter 3, real quick. The book of Malachi, chapter 3. We'll come back to Ezekiel, chapter 20, and we are in verse 15. Malachi, chapter 3. And we're going to get verses 1 through 6. Okay, verses 1 through 6. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Now, this is a prophecy about John the Baptist. And Yah, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Who is Messiah? He's Yah, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says Yah of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto Yah an offering of righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto Yah, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith Yah, Yah of hosts. For I am Yah, I change not. From the very beginning, he's been telling Israel this. Gave them his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments. He says, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahweh. But you said, wherein shall we return? Where are we going to return to? What they're seeing is that, oh, we in the land. What are you talking about, return to you? But they don't see the relationship. Will a man rob Elohim? Yet have you robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So the Most High doesn't change. I am Yah, and I change not. And you're not destroyed because of my namesake, some of you. I said, I will save a remnant of you. If I destroy you all, then my name shall be polluted. Because it will be that I didn't do what I said. So when we come into the New Testament, the Most High didn't change anything. He didn't delete anything. He modified some things. But it's the same basic, obey my commandments. Walk in my statutes and my judgments. I don't change. Now, once again, let us go back to Ezekiel. I did these things for my name's sake. Verse 14, we're in 15, but we're going to read 14. But I wrought or did it for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out of. The Most High is not going to pollute his name. He's not going to change his whole system so that he can bring the Gentiles in. The Gentiles the heathen has to understand he's a heathen because he does not keep the statutes, the commandments, the ordinances, the laws. That's what makes him a heathen. Thank you, Most High. So when the church is saying that they are not up under the law and that Messiah fulfilled the law, and so they don't have to keep it because he fulfilled it, they are being heathenistic, doing exactly the opposite of what the Most High has wanted from the very beginning. From the very beginning, I gave you my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my judgments, that if a man will do, he shall even live in them. But we ain't got to do that. But we're on our fathers. I digress. As I said, this is not prepared. I digress. Verse 15. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land. They rebelled in the wilderness. And when he sent spies into the promised land to spy it out, one spy from each of the tribes, 10 of them came back with negative reports. And the people chose to believe the negative reports, even though they had seen all the miracles I had done. He can't do it. Because, it's one of two things going on here. Either they were looking at themselves and not the Most High, or they just walked totally in unbelief. We're not able to take that land. And Moses, you done brought us out here for nothing. We're going to form a committee, get new leaders, and we're going back to Egypt. And the Most High said, get your behind back there into the wilderness close to the Red Sea. Because you're not coming into, I'm going to raise my hand against you. And I'm not going to bring you into the land that I promised you. And I'm going to kill off, not all of you, I'm going to kill off everybody that is 20 years old and older. And I'm not going to kill you all off at one time. But within 40 years, everybody who is 40 years old, or everybody who is 20 years old and older will be dead. That's what he did. That's why they had to walk for 40 years until that generation, everybody that he had determined, 20 years old and older, was dead. Why? Because they despised my judgment and walked not in my steps, but polluted my Sabbath, for their heart went after their idol. Kind of amazing, and I can't say that I would have done the same thing that they did, and you can't say it either. And he said, don't say that, because you don't know what you would have done. If you were in their shoes, you might have been doing the same thing. But they saw the miracles of the Most High. And they still chose to worship idols. They still chose to worship the idols of Egypt. And then as they start going through these lands, the idols, the gods of these other lands. Ooh, Baal. Baal says we can have sex as part of our worship. We want to worship him. The Moabites got beautiful women. And as part of our worship, we can have sex. We want to worship them. And you had a Hebrew man bring a Moabite woman back to the camp and was going to go into his tent and lay with her as part of his worship right in front of Moses. And it pissed the Most High off. And he's about to kill a whole lot of people. And his brother ran into the tent with this spear or a javelin and actually stuck it through both of them together and killed them. And the Most High's anger was appeased. Because they were going to do this thing in the open, in his camp, among his people. Verse 17, nevertheless, my eye spared them from destroying them. Neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, everybody that was 20 years old was 20 years old and younger, or might as well say 19 years old and younger. Walk you not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgment, nor defile yourselves with their idols. This is what he told that generation, the children. Don't walk in the statutes of your fathers. They done made up some stuff. They're doing their own thing. They didn't walk in my statutes. They didn't observe my judgments. They made up their own judgment. And they worship other gods. So this is the confirmation of Romans chapter 3, I believe, or 10. It's a confirmation for us today that we can't make up our own judgments because, oh, we're in the land of our captors. We have to walk after his judgments and his statutes. And this is what he told the children. This is the way that you walk. Don't walk after their ways. Don't walk after their judgment. Don't worship the gods that they worship, unworthy before me. I am Yah your Elohim. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And hallow my Sabbath, all of my holy days that I gave you. Keep them holy, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yah your Elohim. So to tell you the truth, if the Sabbaths are to be a sign between Elohim and his people, then everybody that's worshiping on a Sunday, I don't know who they're worshiping. I don't know what they're worshiping. Because he says, hallow my Sabbath. It's not just the weekly Sabbath. It's all of his holy days, including his weekly ones. And to tell you the truth, even those that are not observing his new moon, because we're commanded to do it. They are like the Sabbath. Keep them holy, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yah, your Elohim. You keep these things because they are special to me, and you are my people. So how in the world are we not going to keep them? How in the world are we going to try to change them to something else other than what he said? And what's so bad about it is, when it was changed, the world followed right along with it. And when they came out of, when they called themselves protesting, that kept the days that that religious system said to follow, and not the Sabbath of the Most High. And we got people still today that feel like they can do whatever they want to on the Sabbath, and it's okay. And if they are the people of the Most High, I'm talking about people who say that they are Israel and will still corrupt his Sabbath and think it's okay. It is not okay. Verse 20 again, then we'll do 21. And hallow my Sabbath. Keep them holy. Honor them. do what I say you can do on them, and don't do on them what I say you can't do on them. That's what makes them Sabbath. And the weekly Sabbath is not just about rest. It's about not doing some things. It's about honoring him. And hallow my Sabbath, that they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yah, your Elohim. We keep holy because we honor him. And that is a sign between he and us. And if we don't keep him, then he's not our Elohim. No matter what we say in our mind, he's not our God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. When we read this in the New Testament, he's bringing us back to this. And somehow, you know, I think that we're going to have to do that on this evening. I'm going to have to look that up, tie it back to this so that we understand, that so that the church will understand. You are still required to walk in the statutes, the judgments, and the commandments, the law of the Most High. When we say law, the law consists of all these things, the statutes, the commandments, the judgments. All of those together equal the law. And he references this in the New Testament. So I think that's what we're going to be doing on this evening. No matter how far we get on this morning, we will be doing that this evening, because that is what the Most High, that is what should tell the entire church. He wasn't saying don't do this stuff. He was saying to do it, to live in it. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them, live by them. They polluted my Sabbath. Then said I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Now, the children have rebelled. See, we have not wanted to keep. Our forefathers didn't want to keep. And what is he talking about? His judgment. And Israel today still don't want to keep his judgment. We are the children of 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 the children, and we still rebel against him. We have to get it right. Verse 22. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand. I pulled back my hand from destroying them, and did it for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. Wasn't nothing wrong with the Most High. The problem was always us. Because the Most High didn't say, he didn't say anything was unconditional. It's always an if condition. If you do this, then I will do that. That's a condition. And so we had to do our part, then he would do his part. And he says, but because you guys never do your part, and my inclination was to destroy you, but I didn't do it. I always withheld my hand. I always pulled back my hand against the whole nation so that my name would not be polluted amongst the heathen. Not for your sake, for my name's sake. I'm not the wicked one here. I'm not the unrighteous one here. You are. And I partnered up with you. And you keep breaking the covenant. And it makes me look bad, and it makes you look bad. But I don't want my name polluted in front of the heathen. So I'm not going to destroy you. I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to hold on to a remnant of you and complete my promise that my name be not polluted. That's why I said, when we even tell people that we are the children of the Most High, that we are the lost seed of the house of Israel, when we tell the nations that, when we tell the heathen that, he says, don't tell them that you're my people and pollute my name because of what you're doing and cause them to pollute my name. Let's keep going. But we see what our forefathers were doing. Verse 22 again. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and did it for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen. You want to be like them? Here, let me scatter you among them to do what it is that you like to do, and disperse them through the country, because they had not executed my judgment, but had despised my statutes, and had polluted my Sabbath, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Their father's idols were the idols and the gods of these other countries. Their statutes were the statutes from these other countries, the statutes of the heathen. You want to be like them? Let me scatter you among them. And now when you scattered among them, you want to be my people, and you want to say, oh, we want to keep the law. We want to do what we didn't do before. Because these heathens treating us like crap. Low man on the totem pole. We don't like the way they treat us. They don't give us no faith. They kill us in the street. They make sport of us. Then we want to cry out to the Most High. 5. Wherefore, I gave, and I want you to hear this. When we read verse 25, because they rejected the Most High, because they did not walk in his statutes, because they polluted his Sabbath, when he scattered them, wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. And I polluted them in their own gifts. Now understand this. They are despising his statutes, but still say they're worshiping him. So he says, I gave them statutes that were not good. This is a corrupt people. Let me further help them to corrupt themselves. I already told them what was right to do. They chose to do otherwise. So let me give them some statutes that are not good, that they might utterly destroy themselves. And let me give them some judgment whereby they should not live. that's going to bring them death. And I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that opens the womb. That was Molech and Baal worship. And he told them it was okay, because they had already polluted themselves, so that he could utterly judge them, that I might make them desolate. I did all this so that my word would come true against them. They are now scattered amongst the heathen. I am not their God. They say they're worshiping me. They are not my people. And I let them believe, and I even told them to do it, so that it would further corrupt themselves, that I might make them desolate, to the end that they might know that I am Yah. I'm going to give you statutes and commandments, judgments that are not good. That you should not live, but that you should die. I pray we can hear this. I pray we can understand it. We cannot be, this is why we got to confess, of our fathers. We are the children. The next generation will be the children, and we will be the fathers. Our children. And we think because Messiah came and made a way for us and cleared our record, that we don't have to do any of this stuff. Heathenistic, wanting salvation, and still not wanting to do what the Most do. Bringing offerings to the Most High, thinking that they are acceptable offerings, and they are not. Why? So that we would become more and more desolate. Remember, I told you desolation in the scriptures didn't always mean, you know, just barren. It means an absence of us, that I would make them desolate, that I would make them not be around. We as a people. And we should know that this is caused by Yah, because he just said, to the end that they might know that I am Yah. You are going through what you're going through because I'm causing it. But you were a stiff neck and a hard-headed people. And I made you believe that what you were doing was good, that I might destroy you. I want to destroy you, and I don't want the world to say, I'm destroying you. I don't want my name polluted, but you as my people have to know that I'm doing this to you. So I'll let you believe the lie. I'll let you believe the judgments of your fathers. I let you believe the judgments and everything from the other nations, from the heathen, that you chose to follow. I didn't even put it in the prophet's mouth to tell you to do it. because you were corrupt. So I used it to destroy you. Verse 27. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith Yah Elohim, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I brought them into the land for which I lifted up my hand to give to them, then they saw every high hill. Remember, we've gone over this stuff. They were not supposed to put an altar on every high hill or on every mountain. They were not supposed to put altars in thick groves of trees. Only in the place where Yah said that he would put his name. For which I lifted up my hand to give to them. Then they saw every high hill and all thick trees, and they offered their sacrifice. And there they presented provocation of their offering. There also made their sweet savor and poured out their drink offering. Then said I unto them, what is the high place whereunto you go? Where are you going to worship me at? And the name of it is called Bama unto this day. Let's look up this word, if this word has a specific meaning in the Hebrew. Bama. Bama. A place in Palestine. So they were going to this specific place, this high place, and they were offering their sacrifices and their drink offerings there to Yah. But that's not where he told them to go. What is the high place whereunto you go? I didn't tell you to go there. I told you to only bring those things to the place where I put my name at. And I told you don't do it on every high hill or in every thick grove of trees that you find. Don't put a church on every corner or a synagogue in every city. Because see, the way we got the even got the church set up today, it's not supposed to be that way. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yah Elohim, are you polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit you whoredom after their abomination? For when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith Yah Elohim, I will not be inquired of by you. So now, they're talking about Baal worship and passing their sons through the fire. But we're doing all kind of crazy things today. And thinking that we have a right to inquire of Yah. If he would not be inquired of by our fathers, if we are not doing what he says to do, what makes us think that we have a right that he would hear us? So there's something going on. Verse 32. And that which comes into your mind shall not be at all, that you say, we will be as the heathen. And that's what we have done. As the families of the country to serve wood and stone. And we don't think that we serve wood and stone. But it's a serious matter. When you go into any church, you're going to find a wooden cross somewhere in the church. And if it's not a wooden cross, then it's going to be some type of glass work, which glass comes from stone. Pictures of Mary or Jesus or the apostles, some type of work like that. And in our minds, we're getting on our knees to who? Messiah. But these images are before us. Wood and stone. As I live, saith Yah Elohim, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and I will gather you out of the country wherein you were scattered. Now this is what he's going to do. And because our forefathers and because the children, even us, have been in disobedience, I will bring you out from the people. We are in the wilderness of the people right now, scattered amongst the nations. That's the wilderness of the people. And I will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered in a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. That's why it says Messiah is going to rule with a rod of iron. Because we just refuse to follow what he says to do. And the only ones that get to rule with him are the ones that will do what he says to do. Who understand that they got to suffer with him. They got to live like him in order to rule with him. Now we see that the Most High turned our fathers over to a reprobate mind. And he gave them statutes that were not good. And judgments that they shouldn't live by, that they should not live. I'm going to tell you to do those things that will bring you death. And you're going to be doing them thinking you're doing a good. When I've already told you what to do and what will give you life. I know. And it's no shock to me. This will run people away. This type of message, this type of ministry will run people away. To be no surprise to those who want to do what God says, what the Most High says. Because the proof is in the writing. They have never wanted to do it. So it should not be a surprise to any one of us that people will run. Because it's condemning. But it's not us doing the condemning. It is them condemning themselves and thinking that they're doing good. Because they refuse to keep his statutes, his laws, commandments, and his judgments to do them. So I know that's going to be the message on this evening. Because brought up in the New Testament. And I know that people are twisting it. Verse 35, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, the nation. The nations are a wilderness. They're wild. They don't follow the statutes, laws, and commandments and the judgments of the Most High. They are doing their own thing and making it up and worshiping whatever they want to worship. and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. See, Egypt was a wilderness in the eyes of the Most High and wild. So will I plead with you, saith Yah. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. You know, I really do think, now that I'm thinking on this, and the Most High, that the ones that he is giving his spirit, truly giving his spirit to, are the ones that are of a willing heart to keep his statutes, laws, commandments, and his judgments. And then maybe somewhere along the line, people become corrupt. But at some point, they were willing to do it. And then they were corrupted. So we got to understand he's causing us to pass through under the rod now. And it's only those that are acceptable with him. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. You shall know that I am Yah. He's not going to take all of us back into the land of Israel. Those that are rebellious, those that transgress against him, those that don't keep his commandments. Somehow the church is exempt from that in their eyes. But I'm just telling you that that is a lie from the pits of hell. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith Yah Elohim, go you and serve you everyone his idols. And hereafter also, if you will not listen unto me, but pollute my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. Don't, because people are thinking they're worshiping the Most High. And doing things that he said not to do. And not doing things that he said to do. And calling on his name. Go you and serve every man his own idol. Or go you serve you everyone his idol. Because if you're not worshiping the Most High, you worship something. You don't know if that's a demon. You don't know if that's Satan appearing as an angel of light. But if that spirit is telling you to do something contrary to what the Most High is saying, you know it's not the Most High. If that spirit is telling you that you can don't have to keep this Sabbath holy, that spirit is not the Most High. And then again, it may be the Most High. Because you have chosen to be corrupt, then he's telling you to do these things to further corrupt you, that he might destroy you. So you could be talking to the voice of the Most High, and because in your mind you have made up that this is what's right and this is what's wrong and this is what I want to do, just like our forefathers did, like our fathers did, just like the offspring of our fathers did, and he may be giving you some judgment and some statutes that are not right. that he might judge you. And you are hearing the voice of the Most High. I can say it that way. You are hearing the voice of the Most High, but it's not to your good. It is to your detriment, proven to be a bad seed. And people don't want to hear that. I know it. It's okay. You got to say, what thus saith Yah Elohim. Serve ye your everyone his idol. And hereafter also, if you will not listen unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts. Don't tie what you're doing to him. If you're not going to do what he says to do, don't tie what you're doing to him. Why? Because he is not your Elohim. You know not what you worship. And the church has done this. Ooh, the church has done this to no end. Tying the Most High with every pagan holiday, doing and you know, incorporating the traditions and the ceremonies and everything of those pagan holidays with him. And he may be telling them to do it, but it's not to their good. Let us bow our heads. He didn't even get into Ezekiel chapter 7. Or Ezekiel chapter 8, or Isaiah chapter 53, no, 58, nor Acts chapter 7. This is enough for this day on this subject. Father Yah, we come before you. We bow down in humility, Father, in submission to you. Father, we be your people, and you are our Elohim. That they walk not in your statutes or in your judgment, that they kept not your commandments, but they walked in their own statutes and in their own judgment. And that they defiled your Sabbath. Father, help us to be better than they were. Give us clarity and conviction that we would do thy will. That we would walk in your way, that we would keep your statutes and your judgment, that if a man shall do, he shall even live in them, that you should be our Elohim. Father, help us to come out from her, the world. For we are supposed to be in the world, but not of it. And we cannot walk after their way, in their statutes and in their judgment. For they are contrary to you. When you say something is okay, they say it's not okay. When you say something is not okay, they say it's okay. They call evil good and good evil. Put it within our hearts. Strengthen us in your word. Build up our willpower. that we should walk on after your way. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Sin of our Father. Examine your life. Make sure that you are not doing something that you think is good, that is contrary to the word of the Most High. Know that if it's contrary to what he has said, it's not him. No matter what you may think, no matter what you may feel, it's not him. Something else is speaking. Whether it's you, whether you have been made to believe a lie, but understand that if it is contrary, that the Most High may have you doing it. But if you can see it, then you can repent of it and turn back to him. If you are meek and humble enough, if you are meek and humble enough and can see it, then you can repent of it. And if not, you're going to be stuck in your way and believing that you're right. And that's what is wrong with the whole system. Why it's hard for you to convince other people that they are doing is not right. They won't want to hear it. Do you truly believe?
Possible in you, God of exceeding. have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over.